bath, some food, and then sleep for a couple of days.
That's all?
Christy touched him on the thigh. Ryan managed a smile.
Thanks, but no thanks. Not just yet.
Can't blame me for trying.
I don't. How's Dean?
Better than his old man, if you want the truth. Resilience of youth.
You ready to go out and explore the redoubt?
Guess so. How about you?
I can't ever remember feeling so wrung out. Makes me want to curse those pre-dark white coats for not making jumps easier to take.
Doc wandered over to join them.
There are few waking hours in my life when I don't curse the white coats for what they've done. But one gives credit where it is due. The work on matter transfer systems had been going on in ultra-secret for some time. One of the scientists told me that it was triggered back in the 1950s by a horror film called The Fly. There was matter transfer jumping in that.
Did it work? Or did the hero finish up with a real bad headache?
My recollection, dear friend, is that the hero ended up with a real bad fly's head when the jump went more than a little awry. The inevitable cinematic consequence of trying to tamper with the works of the Almighty.
Dean's face, the stark planes like polished ivory, peered over Doc's shoulder.
How's it going, Dad?
Better by the minute, son. You ready to go and start a look around this redoubt?
Sure. Just as long as we don't have to go anywhere near a gateway for at least another 100 years.
You and me both, Dean.
The ponderous sector rose smoothly into the air as JB threw the green lever up. He stopped it when it was only a scant few inches off the concrete floor, so that Jack could flatten himself and peer beneath it with his shrewd ruby eyes.
Nothing.
Ryan leaned his hand against the wall while he waited, aware of his own weakness. Christy saw the movement and moved closer.
Want a shoulder to lean on, lover?
All the time. Nah, I can make my way. Tell you what, though, wouldn't mind if you took the star for a while.
Sure.
Ryan unslung his rifle, taking care not to knock the starlight nightscope and laser image enhancer against the wall. He handed it to Christy, who took it and put the strap across her own back. Trader glanced around him.
Ready to go?
Sure. JB, take point, and you cover our asses, Trader. I'll just sort of stumble along somewhere in the middle.
There was a biting, nagging headache at the back of his skull, but Ryan pushed it away and joined in the skirmish line with the others, Dean walking at his side.
Smell.
Everyone stopped, sniffing the air.
I fear that I have my usual snuffling cold.
Sulfur.
They'd gone only a few dozen paces along a typical redoubt corridor. To the left of the gateway entrance had been a blank wall of concrete. The corridor to the right was about 20 feet wide, with walls that sloped slightly until they became the arched roof. Strip neon lighting kept it well illuminated, though some of the tubes had, not surprisingly, burned out over the past century. Miniature vid set cameras placed near the tops of the walls kept their ceaseless vigil, a tiny red light showing when they were actually functioning. Ryan could smell it now, faint at the back of consciousness. The smell of rotten eggs.
Yeah, you're right, Mildred.
Hot springs. Could mean we're near that place north of the Shoshone Forest. Yellowstone. All those bubbling pools and steaming shit.
Could be. But there's another smell as well. Kinda salt. I reckon we might be out in the Western Islands. Hot springs and volcanoes and every kind of wrong thing you can think of.
What are the Western Islands? I don't think I've heard that name before.
Probably because we've never jumped out that way since you've been with us, Mildred. Which, in its turn, is probably because it was worst hit during the New Coast. And I doubt that many redoubts survived.
Not close to the coast, anyway. What was California in your day?
Oh, right. All the changes you keep talking about. You said that the West Coast was particularly badly hit by the missiles, right?
Nearly wiped clean away. Couldn't find a speck of beach for 1,000 miles.
My belief is that the San Andreas and all the other associated tectonic fault lines were struck and opened up. All of their energy was released, and the consequent quakes stretched out far beyond the coast. Is that not the correct scenario, John Barrymore?
Apart from the long words, it sounds right to me, Doc. The Civic just poured inland for hundreds of miles in some places.
Tsunamis. Monster tidal waves. I would speculate that the loss of life along the entire California coast was total. A flat 100%.
So, what's there now? Islands?
We never went there very often. Ain't that right, Trader?
Hot spots and the worst fucking muties in the Deathlands. Both human and animals.
Trader lifted his armalite to his shoulder and mimed opening up with it.
Best of the whole place was chilled.
Well, that's my guess.
Must be open if smell outside air. Could be anyone in here.
Or anything.
The end of the corridor came more quickly than any of them expected. Less than 50 yards around a slight curve, beyond where Jack had caught the whiff of sulfur.
Not another elevator. I really hate the trapped-in feeling.
Look on the bright side. Might not be working and we can all go back and make another jump. Wouldn't that be a hot pipe?
No, it wouldn't.
They hadn't passed any other corners or doors, so this single elevator represented the only way out. It was larger than usual, wide enough to take a small armawag.
Well, it ain't coated. Just the standard arrows for up and down.
I guess we want to go up.
Ryan was feeling better, but his original desire for a hot bath, food, and a bed was still there. His wet clothes had virtually dried on him, with a faint smell of mold. JB gestured to him with the Uzi.
Want to come back onto the point?
No. You stay there. Better isn't the same as well.
The armorer reached out and pressed the silver arrow that pointed upward.
How do you know we want to go up?
What?
Chill. It's just a question, Ryan. How do we know the gateway isn't at the top of the redoubt instead of at the bottom?
Because, Millie, they've almost always been at the lowest level. Security, I guess.
Why not press down just in case?
Okay.
All right. Just a thought.
Force the doors.
Agreed. Over, under, around, or through. Let's go through.
Trader and Abe started toward the elevator's locked doors.
Wait, why the fuck not, boy?
Take it easy, Trader. Might be we'll try breaking them down. Best to stand off and think a little first. Could easily be the controls have jammed up.
The older man shook his head, turning away.
Sure, let's all sit around thinking.
Oh, if you work really hard, Trader, I think you might eventually be able to become a pure half-wit.
Good one, Mildred.
During the exchange, JB had removed the plate covering the elevator controls and gingerly pulled a few wires.
Got it. I can hear it.
He placed his hand flat on the matte-finished metal door.
Yeah, I can feel the vibration of it.
Double red. Get ready for when the doors open.
They fanned out into a half-circle, each gripping his or her favored weapon. A white strip above the door was lit from behind. A maroon pointer showed the progress of the car toward them.
Over halfway.
Three quarters.
No more talk. I don't want to give any warning that we're here.
The pointer slowed as the elevator neared the bottom of the steep shaft. Ryan had been counting, and he calculated that it had to be around 150 feet to the top. The car finally stopped. Nothing happened for several long moments. Ryan took a quick look at the faces of his companions. Christie's green eyes were blazing, her hair tightly knotted at the back of her neck. Mildred stood in the classic pistol shooter's pose, right arm extended, both eyes open, the six-shot ZKR 551 as steady as a rock. Trader chose to kneel to make himself a smaller target for whatever might emerge, the armalite braced at his right shoulder, his finger on the trigger. Abe was beside him, also crouching, the overhead lights glinting off the polished metal of the 357 Colt Python. Jack Lauren had an almost identical weapon, but with a satin finish, held down at his side. He looked relaxed and almost disinterested, but Ryan knew that the teenager's reflexes would bring the gun up ready for shooting at the first moment of need. Dean, standing by Jack, legs apart, held his Browning High Power in both hands, as the armorer had shown him, his dark eyes fixed on the large sector of the elevator. Doc looked like an illustration out of a pre-dark book on the history and etiquette of the duello. He stood sideways, squinting down the barrel of the Lamar, his tongue darting out to lick his lips. JB had chosen the M4000 Smith & Wesson scattergun, carrying its lethal load of 12-gauge flechettes, the tiny inch-long darts that